Blog Talk Radio.
You came like the break of day, stole my heart away. Now I belong to you forever. You danced and shouted over me. You loved the raging sea. Now I am lost in you forever. You're washing over me. You're washing over me. You're my
everybody to the Healing Lot Show, and today we're going to be interviewing Thomas Hurd. How you doing, Thomas?
I'm doing great, Dan. How are you?
Doing pretty good today, for the glory of God. I I appreciate all you guys coming on here and talking with us and telling us your interview.
Great. It's great to be here.
Yeah, we've got some brothers in Christ that's actually in Florida right now. It's getting ready to leave the state, and we're really praying for all those guys that's leaving and praying for their homes and protection over their homes and family. We just hold these guys up right now in Jesus' name. Lord, we ask you to bless their families. We ask you to bless them, get them out of harm's way, protect their homes, protect their all their families that's there. Just protect them, Lord, and protect their drive on the way out of the state. The ones that's there, I ask you put put protection upon them and just keep them protected, Lord. We ask this in Jesus' mighty name, and so it is.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes. Amen.
Amen. It just seems that, you know, the United States, you know, the Lord is really, you know, letting us open our eyes. You know, we've been going through a lot of stuff here in this great country of ours, and, you know, these riots and all this stuff, and God is opening our eyes. I just really feel that.
Yes, absolutely. It's amazing that how it's like, even what happened in Texas, how it's even bringing people together in the compassion of the helpers and people coming together to help each other instead of the division that's been going on. And you know, I know a lot of people that have gone down there, even into Texas, to help and to serve. It's just amazing what's going on the earth today.
Amen. I know anytime there's division, it seems like something like this brings unity, because everybody has to work together one way or the other. They have to work together, and it kind of opens their eyes.
Yeah,
it's very unique how it works. But anyway, we're going to get right to your interview here, Thomas. And
okay.
Thomas, can I ask you? Can you tell us a little bit about your testimony?
Yes, I can tell you that when I was young, I didn't grow up in church. I started drinking at a very young age, like 12 years old. I grew up in an alcoholic family, and I started drinking at a very young age, like 12 years old. And then, you know, as I grew up in the country, so we were kind of redneck, and we ended up getting in a lot of trouble and drinking and that kind of stuff, and didn't grow up in church. We didn't really, you know, didn't grow up in a believer household, more like a heathen. It got worse as I got older, and then I ended up in like a alcohol rehab and stuff like that. And actually, one of the things that I got a hold of when I was young was the Lord's Prayer, because I ended up into alcohol rehab, and in the STEP programs, that's what they use. They use the Lord's Prayer, and that's really what introduced me to God and to, you know, searching for something bigger, you know, and searching for the truth. And as life went on, I went for money. I wanted to make money. So I started businesses and that kind of stuff. I had like 7 real estate properties. I had businesses, stores, and distribution and construction. I had a lot of stuff going, and I was just seeking money. And I was successful at it, but then it came to a point where I just wasn't full in that. There was still something missing. I just started, something within me was just, I wanted to find the truth. You know, I was seeking the truth, and about 3 years ago, I was going to, a few different churches. I was checking out churches. I didn't know anything about denominations, anything, you know, like Catholic, Christian, or any of that. You know, I was just on a mission, it seems, to seek and find the truth. And I ended up in I was going to a few different churches and seeking, and I came across, what happened was I was in a church, and the manifest presence of God was there, and a person got delivered from demons, and I saw it, and I was there, and I experienced it, and I was like, to myself, it was an eye-opener for me, and I just got, I would say, awakened at that time, and I just knew that it was real, that there was something to it, because I had seen it with my own eyes, I started to be accelerated, if you will, and I started, you know, speaking, and one of the ladies said, "Hey, you remind me of Todd White." She started prophesying over me, and I didn't know, you know, I wasn't familiar with what prophecy was or any of that. And she goes, "Do you know who he is?" And I said, "No, I don't know who he is." And so anyways, I ended up looking him up on YouTube, and I saw, and I'm like, our personalities, our character was a lot alike. God had been sowing on my character. I mean, when I was growing up, I was a bad actor, and, you know, God had been working within me, you know. Obviously the Bible says nobody comes to the Father or to the Son unless the Father sends him. So that was working in my life. I had a hunger for the truth I was seeking, and I knew that I wasn't fulfilled, you know, if you will. So I ended up going to it was a Power and Love, and I had a lot of back problems at that time. I was picking up a car. I was messing around in the garage picking up a car, and I had snapped two discs in my back. They were crushed. Right. I felt them when it happened. It was a loud, you know, snap on both of them twice, and then my legs went numb, and I got sick, you know, to my stomach, and I had to sit down. I thought I was going to be paralyzed. But after that, you know, my back was completely messed up. To ride in the car or even to do something simple like put my pants on, there was extreme pain in my back. And so I heard about the miracles that Todd had seen, and so I decided I'm going to go to this thing, and I'm going to have this guy pray for me, you know. And so I ended up going to that, I was like, I want this guy to pray for me. You know, I've seen a couple of his videos, and I want it to happen to me, that kind of thing. So I ended up going there, and got there, and I couldn't get, you know, prayer from him, you know, because there was so many people there and that kind of stuff. And then they were saying, well, we're going to send you guys out into the streets and do evangelism stuff. And I'm like, I was like, well, I didn't come here for that. But I ended up doing that, and it ended up working out. It ended up opening and lighting and igniting something within me, just by going and doing that. And one of the guys that we were with in the car, they send you out in groups of like 3, 6, 4 people, small groups like that. And one of the guys was saying how he prayed for somebody and he watched his leg grow 4 inches. So I'm like, okay, I want you to pray for my back. Cause, you know, I was having all kinds of trouble in my back. So when we got back, they laid hands on me. And I felt my back start to lift, to start to grow. And instantly I had gotten scared. And I didn't say anything. Because it was a shocker, you know. It was a suddenly. Yeah. And I wasn't really expecting it, you know what I mean? When the supernatural touches you, you don't really have a grid for that. So what happened was, one of the guys that was praying, he said, "Dude, I felt your back growing." And then I started laughing, and I said, "Yeah, I know, I felt it." And my back was healed. God healed my back. And
amen.
It was using. And I say that to say that, you know, it didn't come the way that I looked or expected, because I wanted the mighty man of God to pray for me, you know, that kind of thing. and the guy that I knew. And it was leading me, it was kind of drifting me off from God doing the healing versus a man. So they were teaching there, and it was an introduction to me to the supernatural about that, hey, it's for you too. You can do this stuff too. And so that's what happened to me. And then I ended up going to more meetings because, you know, when the Holy Ghost touches you, you can't stay home. And when you see that stuff and when you experience it, and then you realize that it's real and that there was even more of a hunger that was instilled in me for the supernatural. And so I ended up going to different meetings. I went to a Randy Clark meeting among praying for people. And God touched me there. God touched me at a James Maloney meeting. At different meetings, I'm starting to feel the power and the touch of God and this kind of stuff. And then next thing you know, I'm like, people around me are starting to get healed. It's just like without even prayer. There was a young boy, we were sitting there talking, and he had just that week had gotten, he was in school, and his eyes were checked, and he had like Coke bottle glasses. And one of his eyes was like, his eyesight was like 80-20. One of his eyes was almost blind. And we were just sitting there talking, and then he goes, hey, what's going on? And he goes, I can see. And so we tested his eyes again after that, and he got completely restored in his eyes. And this was without even prayer. So I was seeing God heal people around me, and like people that I'd pray for, I'd be seeing them get healed and stuff. A lady had prophesied over me about me being on a plane and in Africa, and I can't remember exactly how the prophecy went, but anyways, the opportunity came, and I felt like it was a God connection. I had met a pastor in Uganda who invited me to go there, and I just followed the Lord, you know, and I ended up going there. And when I got there, I was getting bit up by mosquitoes, and I was like, what am I doing here? I'm not, you know, went through this thing, you know, what are you doing, you know? And because it was a third world country, and I didn't know the language. I didn't know if the, you know, the people, even the people picking me up from the airport and stuff, I didn't know any of it. But I knew God at that, you know, I just knew that this was God. So I ended up going there, and we got in at like 3 a.m. We had to be back up at 6 because my flight got delayed, and it was just travel. We only had a couple hours sleep, and I laid in the bed, and there was this thing over, canopy over top of it. I didn't know what it was. I'm kind of looking at that thing, I lay down to go to sleep. I didn't end up getting any sleep because the mosquitoes were buzzing around my ear, and they were keeping me up, and the anxiety. It was a short few hours of just trying to get rest, but I couldn't. And then the pastor showed up at the door at 6:00, and he goes, "How'd you sleep?" And I said, "I didn't. I was up all night. The mosquitoes." And he goes, he looked at me and laughed. He goes, "Didn't you put the net down?" there was a net over top of the bed, and I didn't understand that it was a mosquito net until the morning. I was just tired. I was out of it, but it was funny. I still laugh about that today. But anyways, we got right into the meetings, and I had never obviously preached before. I didn't grow up in a church. I just knew that I had my testimony, and that when I prayed for people, I saw them get healed, you know. So we got there, and I spoke a little bit on John 15 about the Comforter, about the Spirit of Truth, and then I just started praying, and people just, they started, which I thought was their language, because they speak Swahili there. And it sounded like they were speaking in their language because everybody started raising up speaking. And I'm like, And then the pastor, he's like, oh, my God, these people are all speaking in tongues. That's what we're praying for. So over half the people in the meeting were getting baptized in the Holy Spirit with the evidence of tongues. And
Amen.
The fire of God fell on them. And then people started getting healed in the meetings. And heart disease was gone. Like terminal illnesses, HIV was being healed, and just all kinds of different things. We saw deaf ears open there, and we saw eyes opened. We saw deliverance, and just, you know, all these things are going on in a very short amount of time, and it was just crazy. It blew my mind, you know, and of what God was doing, actually, you know, to see it firsthand.
That's awesome, man. I'm gonna stop you right there. And you said that the thing that really brought you to the Lord was your alcohol problems, and through your rehab and all that stuff, it kindly brought you closer to the Lord. Is that kind of what you were saying?
Yeah, what happened was there was always the void, if you will, and I tried to fill that void with different things, whether it be alcohol or, you know, gambling or even money, you know, that kind of stuff. But
yeah.
The thing that struck me the most was the Lord's Prayer, is that it really, because then when I started going to church, I'm like, why am I not hearing this prayer in church, you know, why am I not hearing this? Because that was the biggest thing that drew me closer to the Lord, was saying the Lord's Prayer, you know, about bringing the kingdom to earth. And because it really grabbed a hold of me. And obviously searching for to fill that void. And through the programs, I mean, the programs in themselves didn't do it, obviously. And even going to church, it was only relationship. It was only personal relationship, personal experience that really brought me into relationship, into knowing God. Not just about Him or what, you know, that kind of stuff.
Amen. Amen. I know there's a lot of people that go to church every day, but they really don't have what you want to call a real relationship with the Lord. And that's basically how you grow, is having a personal relationship with Him. But that's really unique how, you know, the Power and Love. I went to the Power and Love too with Todd White. He came to North Carolina, and we was down there and went on the street and prayed for a lot of people. And it kind of really opened up a lot of doors. And what was really unique, like you saying, that, you know, Todd was unable to pray for a lot of people, but closer to the end of the sessions that he had, he would sooner or later, but it was like impossible. But we all end up praying for one another, and that's how a lot of people got healed. And I really believe that, you know, that's what the Lord's trying to do. He wants to use everybody, not just one man, because if we focus on one man, it can kindly raise the man up to be a God, and he's not. You know, the Lord Jesus is. So it's unique when He throws all the focus on the body, that they can do the same thing that the Lord, because He actually died to pour His Spirit amongst men, where we could do the same thing that He did. But it was awesome how, you know, at one time you thought that you could go to the evangelist, but God put you into the body of Christ and showed that they could do the same thing that He did. That was pretty awesome.
Yeah, it was. It blew my mind, and it just opened up a whole new thing. And it opened up my eyes more, if you will, because it was actually, you know, Christ that opened my eyes, you know, that opened my eyes to this stuff. But it's true. It's just like God wants to use His body. He wants to use everybody. And it's not just about one, you know, master pastor, if you will. You know, God's really bringing, I believe, back to, you know, the fivefold and the equipping and training and equipping the body to go, because that's one of the biggest things that about going, you know, about the leading of the Holy Spirit into all the world, and to reach the lost and to reach the broken, and
Amen.
To go out and show them that, hey, they can do that too. And that was a lot of what had happened in Africa, was people were being equipped as I would touch them. They would receive the gifts of the Spirit. They would actually go right out the next day. They'd be out door to door. It was amazing what God was doing there, because more workers were going out, and they were seeing people healed and delivered and that kind of stuff, and going out and preaching the gospel in the street. It was just amazing. And everywhere that we went, we like went into the market, and like everybody that we touched was healed. It was amazing. It was like what a faith builder, you know, because we were having like 100%, you know, everybody that we prayed for was getting healed. And we ended up in the middle of a market with several thousand, and we found the guy with the speaker, who had the speaker over all the market. We started talking a little bit about the testimonies about people being healed, and we asked him if we could speak for a minute on the mic, and he ended up giving us the microphone over all the market. There were several thousand people in the market, and we ended up giving some testimony, and then doing the sinner's prayer, you know, to bring them into Christ. And we ended up, you know, everybody around was repeating the sinner's prayer. So they were, you know, they got a hold of it as well. It was amazing. What God will do if we let him, you know, if we just listen to what he's saying, that, you know, that still small voice, and just follow and obey.
That's awesome. That's awesome. We're going to go into a small break, and we're going to be listening to a Forever Praise, and we'll be right back with Thomas Hurd.
You came like the break of day. You stole my heart away. Now I belong to you forever. You danced and shouted over me. You love the raging sea. Now I am lost in you forever. You're washing over me. You're washing over me. I
Amen, amen. We're back with Thomas Hurd. How you doing, Thomas?
I'm doing great, Stan.
Doing great, man. And we're going to get right back to this interview, and we're going to talk about some of the miracles that Thomas seen. What is some of the first miracles that you saw that the Lord worked through you?
I saw like all kinds of pains and diverse diseases leaving people's bodies. I saw there was a lady who received a new heart. She was in constant pain. It was like 12 years. She was like in pain in her chest. Her heart was failed. Instantly, God touched her, and I believe gave her a new heart. And you know, all that left her, that all the test results, doctor's results are spot on. Like, she got a new heart. There was a one man who was paralyzed. He had to be carried around. He was in one of the meetings in Africa. He got up and walked out of that meeting. After having to be carried around, there was a particular instance. I was ministering in a jail. We had about 30 minutes. There was maybe 300 people in there, 300 men. And as I prayed, you know, some of them got baptized with the Holy Ghost. And there was one particular man in there who was a leper. He got cleansed from leprosy. There was a madman in the jail who got freed from that, from the demons. They had to put him in the jail because he was constantly fighting in the streets. So they sent him to the jail. They didn't know what to do with him. They put him in the jail, and he was fighting with everybody in there. And after, a couple of days after I left that meeting, they realized that the man was—he was in peace. He wasn't fighting anymore. So he got freed from that. There was again HIV healed. There was diabetes healed. There blind eyes were open. Some were touched, you know, with hands on. And some just in the glory of God in the meetings. When I was in Brazil, my wife and I were in Brazil in March of this year, and we saw diverse miracles. We saw there was a guy, maybe 30 years old. He was paralyzed on his left side from a stroke. And he was in the particular town that we were in to start his physical therapy the next day. I believe it was on a Sunday. I was in the meeting. I was just praying, and the guy, he started, there was a guy chasing me. The language barrier, you know, was there, obviously. But there was a guy, I saw him from afar. He's walking up with a huge smile on his face, and he's come up to talk to me. And I didn't realize that he was paralyzed, you know, a few moments before. But he was freed from all that. God completely restored the man. His speech, his whole side was paralyzed, and God just freed him from that. It's amazing, you know, those types of miracles. Another one was, there was an older lady who maybe 70 years old in Africa. Her knees were gone. She was multiple years. She was like 15 years. Her knees were gone. She had been to multiple doctors. They told her there's nothing that they could do for her. In Africa, they don't have bathrooms like we do. You know, so if she had to go to the bathroom, she's out in the bush trying to squat, you know, and she couldn't do it. She always had to find a log or something to lean on. You know, she was that bad. She couldn't even bend her knees. But I did an altar call, and she stood up, and as soon as she stood up to approach the altar, she started shaking, and God was touching her, and I was doing a man on a street interview, if you will, and just say, you know, what's God doing? And then she started releasing her testimony about her knees, and then she started crawling on the floor, and she started laughing and yelling and screaming, and I knew that God was touching her, that God had touched her, but I still didn't know what was going on. And then as she released the testimony, you know, that everybody started applauding and stuff about God's goodness, and that he healed this woman when all the doctors said that there's nothing they can do, you know, and she was, you know, she was 70 years old. She was older, and, you know, God just recreated her knees.
Amen.
In an instance, you know, and that kind of stuff. When we was in Brazil, there was a man who was laid up. He was a construction worker. He was 19 days laid in bed, and he was in so much pain. He was praying. He goes, God, I don't want to be in pain all my life. I don't want to be subject to having to be on pain pills or surgery, you know. And he was hungry. He was faithful. You know, he wanted and needed the touch from God. And as we prayed for him, he started where he couldn't even stand before. He stood up. He started moving around a little bit. God was touching him, but he was still in pain. So we prayed again. We laid him in bed, and 4 hours later, he woke up. He started moving around, jumping like as if he'd never been sick. So it's amazing to see even the different ways that God touches people, because I was looking for even the instant, you know, miracle where, you know, this one, he got some freedom. He went to bed and woke up as if he'd never been sick, you know, that kind of stuff. But either way, God's glorified in it, you know. And it's amazing, you know, even the way that we think, because God's ways are not our ways, and his thoughts are not our thoughts. It's just that it's not us as the people. It's God that does the healings. God does the miracles, and we're just a vessel that delivers that with our prayers and stuff. And God can use all of us in doing this.
Amen. That's awesome. You know how God just uses people. You know, He uses men of God to be like fire starters. He goes to a meeting and starts the fire. Then it's up to the congregation to move that fire across their area and to really set people on fire for the Lord and see healings and transformations and miracles and stuff like that. It's, you know, I really tell people, you know, you just don't wait for the miracle worker to come. You know, when he does come, take what he showed you, what he set you on fire with the Holy Spirit. Take that to your streets. Take it to your church. Take it to everywhere that you go, because, you know, these people like us, and, you know, people it's carrying this. It's not just for us. It's like everybody can carry this. It's just they got to pay attention to us and want to do that, you know.
And yeah, that's one of the biggest things. Like when I speak in ministers, is that we can't be focused on a name or a title. Because the Word of God tells us that we only have to believe. That's our credibility as a believer, that says that these signs will follow those who believe. And when I was in Brazil here, my wife and I, we saw like 4 cases of cancer being healed. It's just amazing the power of God that works through prayer. And one of them, the lady, her back got healed in the meeting, and then we found out through another friend that, you know, she was dealing with cancer. So we called on the phone. She got healed over the phone of cancer.
Amen.
There was another guy who we was in the Uber. We was riding in the Uber, my wife and I, and the Spirit of the Lord was speaking to me, and I said to the driver, I said, "You're feeling that fire, aren't you?" And he said, "Yeah, I'm on fire. What is that?" You know, he was burning up because he had felt the presence of God. And I said, "Oh, that's the presence of God. That's the fire of God." And he goes, we started talking to him a little bit, and he said that his sister was dealing with cancer. His sister had cancer. And so I said, "Well, get her on the phone. Let's call her." And so he got his sister on the phone. She didn't pick up the phone, So we ended up leaving her a voicemail message. And we prayed for her over the voicemail message. And God healed her over that message. So she was free from cancer. There was another lady. We went to her house. She had a wig on. She was in chemotherapy along with 15 others. And this type of cancer was terminal. Like, her chances of dying were almost 100%. And she was in therapy with 15 others, and the other 15 died, but she lived, and then she's now free from cancer. And
amen.
And you know, glory to God, you know. And it's just it came through prayer, you know. So the power of prayer is just amazing. When we just believe, we add our faith and belief to it, what God can do and will do through everybody, through the body of believers.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. I know I talked to William Pollack about you, and he said this guy here is really anointed, and, you know, he's a good guy. And tell me some of the meetings that you and Williams had.
We're seeing some powerful joy, laughter, freedom, and at Solomon's Porch in Little Valley, New York, where, you know, the power and presence of God is tangible and thick, and, you know, people are being set free, they're being healed. And there was one particular lady who was a cutter, you know, for, I believe it was like 18 years. She was dealing with these demons, if you will, about, you know, self-destruction, mutilation, and you know, self-loathing, that kind of stuff, suicidal. And, you know, over a period of, we were having weekly meetings, and it was over a couple weeks, you know, she kept seeing more and more release, where she's finally free from that, and her whole countenance, her whole facial expressions and her personality had changed along with it. You could see it physically on her face and on her being that she was being set free from this stuff. All this, you know, all these years of abuse, of trauma, of you know, self-loathing and this kind of stuff was free from all that. And just the overwhelming, like, joy and laughter, that's a, you know, we see a lot of that, and miracles, signs, and wonders. You know, they follow them who believe. And so it's just our job to believe and pray, right?
Correct. 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 A little help from the Holy Spirit too. So it's all.
Amen,
it's
for all, that.
All works together,
yeah.
There.
And that's
can
it,
you?
That's, yeah.
Could yes, you Brian. Explain creative miracles? How that works and stuff.
The creative miracles are the difference between a healing and a miracle is that a healing takes time. It comes out through time. Like, one instance was like, I prayed for a man. This was in Africa, and he had a 3-day journey home and walking. And by the time he got home, he'd been healed. A creative miracle would be like the woman with the knees, like a creative miracle where there was no tissue left in the knees. It was bone to bone. They were seized together, basically. And there was no healing that. It had to be rebuilt. That was a creative miracle. There was one young lady. She was about 20 years old. She was born without ear part. Like the inner bone and stuff was missing in her ear. I believe it was her left ear. But as we prayed, she currently had an infection in that ear as well. So she was, you know, she was in pain with it. She couldn't hear. It was a mess, even from birth. So as my wife and I prayed for her, God restored her hearing. And the only way for him to restore her hearing was to recreate the parts in her ear, and then the infection was gone as well. So that was a creative miracle. So that's how I would explain the difference between like a healing, a creative miracle. A creative miracle is instantaneous, and it's now, and God does it all. So even like, which leaves me faith, like even for the guy that I prayed for, and who was laid up for 19 days, you know, he was. Would I describe that as a creative miracle healing? I would say it's more of a healing because it wasn't instant. But if there was parts missing or whatever, it would have been a creation. You know, God, our Creator, recreating. The woman with the heart would have been a creative miracle where she just, I believe, received a brand new heart, and that kind of stuff.
Amen. Amen. I know I had a brother of mine that didn't really understand that creative miracle thing, and that's one of the reasons I asked you to let people understand what a creative miracle is, because we always, you know, hear about laying hands on the sick and seeing the healings and all that stuff, but when it comes to creative miracles, they just think as a healing. They don't really understand the how that works, how that goes together, and that was pretty awesome how you gave the definition for it.
Amen. Amen. And it is in the Bible as well. You know, some have the gift of healing, some have the gift of miracles and stuff. Like A.A. Allen was a miracle worker. You know, he had the most documented miracles, you know. And it's just amazing, you know, and I believe in this, that this time that we're in is, as Jesus said, the kingdom is at hand. I believe it's available to all of us. If we just step into it, you know, if we reach into heaven, you know, and bring it, you know, as we pull it in, I believe it's available to every believer, because, you know, even the Bible says that, you know, these signs, miracles, and wonders will follow those who believe, you know. So I believe that, you know, that it's available to all the body, you know, if we
Amen.
Step in and we grab it, take hold. And but, you know, there is specific giftings and stuff, but I believe myself that that's only for equipping and training, you know, because
yes,
I've helped, you know, to teach and send out many, you know, and that's part of, you know, the call that's on my life is to pass it on, if you will, and to equip and train on that. Hey, it's for you too, and all you have to do is believe. Is because I mean that's exactly what Jesus said. Just believe, you know.
Amen. Now, Thomas, if somebody want to get a hold of you and bring you to a service or help you to equip the saints, how could they get in touch with you?
I'm on Facebook. It's under Thomas Hurd. There's an evangelist Thomas Hurd page on there as well. And right now, I'm in a transition period where I'm moving into full time ministry. So it would be those two venues, through Facebook. I believe there is a YouTube channel being set up. My son is working on that now. And we're doing a lot, in Rochester and at Gail's Place at Solomon's Church. And right now we're up in Rochester. We're going to be doing a conference up here in early November, which is going to be called Love Rochester. And what that is equipping. It's going to be impartations, activations, equipping, and then going out into the street. We're going to be doing what is similar to like a power and love thing, where we're going to be actually going out and reaching the homeless. We're going to be going in, you know, to the hospital, into the malls, into the marketplace, and praying for people. And then we're going to be feeding people. So it's a combination of that stuff, but. The main thing is pairing up side by side with people who haven't been activated and taking them out into a real world situation to say, okay, you can do it too, and I want to activate you, or taking them by the hand and doing these types of things where they can be activated as well. And that's going to happen in Rochester, November 2nd to 4th at SOG Church. So we're encouraging people to join up along with that as well. And there is a Facebook page set up for that as well, an event page. and that's called Love Rochester School of the Spirit.
Amen. Amen. Yeah, just go to Thomas Hurd's Facebook page and go to his YouTube and check out his stuff, see what he's doing and where he's ministering at, you know, and get a hold of him, and maybe he can come and minister to your church and to your people. And it's awesome to have you on here today, Thomas.
Yeah, it's great. Thanks.
And before we go, I'm just going to go ahead and pray for everybody, you know, in Jesus' name. You know, if you have not received the Lord Jesus Christ in your life, I ask you to say this prayer with me. I mean, if you really feel that you need the Lord in your life to guide you and to save you from hell. I mean, a lot of people don't want to say that, but you die tomorrow, you don't know, and you don't know where you're going to go. You need the Lord Jesus Christ because he is the only door in the way. So, you know, just say this prayer with us, and the Lord Jesus will come into your heart. Just say, Lord Jesus, I accept you as my Lord and Savior. I repent for all the sins that I've done. I believe that you died on the cross for me. I believe that you rose again on the third day for me. And Lord Jesus, I give you in my heart for now and in eternity. I ask this in Jesus' holy name. And so it is. Now, Thomas, go ahead and just pray for a baptism of the Holy Spirit for these guys that asked the Lord in.
Amen. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, I just ask that you release your Holy Spirit, Father, to fill hearts, Father, to touch lives, Father. I thank you, Spirit of Truth, to come and fill. Father, I thank you for the evidence of speaking in tongues, Father. I thank you to touch them even where they are, Father. I thank you for those creative miracles to be released, Father. We thank you for those miracle workers to be released, Father. We thank you for those power evangelists to be released. Father, we thank you for the spirit of prophecy, the gifts of the Spirit to be released, Father. We thank you for stamping, commissioning, Father. We thank you for your healing virtue to be released, Father. In the name of Jesus, Father, we thank you to touch them right where they are, Father. May you empower these words, Father. May you attach and assign angelic visitations to their lives, Father, and open them up in the spiritual realms, to open their eyes that they may see, to open their hearts that they may see, Father, and I thank you to open their ears that they may hear in a way they've never heard before, your voice, your spirit. In Jesus' mighty name, we bless them.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Thomas. Thank you so much for that prayer. And we will see everybody next Saturday. We're trying to get another interview, or we'll just come on here and pray with people and, you know, preach the word of God. I want to thank everybody for listening to us today. And if you want to know any more about the Healing Light Show, we've got the Healing Light Show on YouTube, and we also have the website on Facebook. It's called Healing Light Ministries. You can find out what's going on. We also have a chapter in Florida. It's called the Healing Light Chapter, Florida Chapter. And Evangelist Shane Stevens has that. So if you need anybody to come out to your place, anybody to pray for you, if you're in a hospital, you're in a time of need, you know, you can get a hold of us. We've got people that can come out and pray for you and just minister to you if you need it. And we also have the Healing Light channel, which is on Roku. And we have over 17 to 18 different ministries. If you want to walk in the power of God, you want to know how to walk in this, how your lifestyle needs to be, how to do this, just go to that channel. It's free. There's no charge for anybody that gets on this channel. And you can be taught all day long. I mean, we've got Pete Cabrera, we got Art Montgomery, we got many, many people on there, and plus we have ourselves, our own little ministry on there too. So there's different ministers that teach you different things, and we actually have people that takes you on the street and actually guides you and shows you how to do this, and you just watch them do this stuff. So it's to equip the saints. I mean, this channel is to equip the saints, and don't let this go away from you, because, you know, this channel is very important to the body of Christ to equip you and get you on the street and praying for the sick like Jesus Christ did. I want to thank everybody, and I'd like to thank Thomas Hurd again for coming on today.
Thank you. Bless you.
And God bless Amen. Amen. And God bless everybody, and we'll see you next time.
On your mind, nothing's really going right. Looking for a